It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The Great Lakes maritime shipping season is underway with the docking of the Barbro G, the ocean-going vessels about the length of two football fields, here gliding under Duluth's aerial lift bridge on Monday. As we discuss port safety and infrastructure in light of the Baltimore bridge collapse, call in with the question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Deb DeLuca is Executive Director of the Duluth Seaway Port Authority. Deb, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you, and good morning, Ann. And I'm always happy to be on Wisconsin Public Radio, my home state public radio.
Thank you for that. How did you react to the Baltimore Bridge collapse tragedy?
Well, of course, it was a horrible human tragedy with the loss of life occurring from the workers on the bridge. And anything like that affects that involves shipping, of course, is very sobering. But the damage was shocking to see how quickly that bridge went down.
In a matter of seconds, and watching that video, I'm sure you had a lot of emotions. What was coming up for you?
Well, of course, it makes us reflect on our own harbor and the safety measures that we have in place. I thought that the dispatch activity, the fact that the vessel, clearly the pilot and the captain of the vessel, they were doing what they could. They were trying to problem solve in real, or they were problem solving in real time. And the fact that they put out the dispatch call and they closed the bridge in a very short span of time, saved lives. There were cars that got off the bridge and were not allowed onto the bridge in that amount of time. So if you look at in terms of our harbor, the bridge configuration is very different, and we do have safety measures in place. So I'll let you ask the questions, though, because my head went to all of that because we knew the questions would be coming.
Yeah. Well, my mind goes to the aerial lift bridge. I was just there a few days ago on that bridge and thinking about Baltimore. Is the bridge vulnerable to collapsing if struck by a cargo ship?
Well, think about the case of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, that those piers are in the water, in the navigation channel. Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, that condition exists around the world and around our nation. That's not an unusual configuration for a bridge pier to be in the water. But this is a very, very, very rare occurrence. So please keep that in mind. First of all, in regards to the lift bridge, there is no pier in the water, right? The bridge spans, the support for the bridge are in the, in the ground, in the land side, on either side of that relatively narrow channel, unlike the Key Bridge that had, I think the spans were almost a mile long. So it's a short span bridge, very, robust infrastructure on either side. And so an elision would not, with the cement, along the edges of the ship canal, would not be very unlikely to take out that bridge. It wouldn't affect the bridge supports.
Yeah. You mentioned the communication and the dispatch. The cargo ship in Baltimore reportedly lost power before the collision. How are ship operators trained to respond in emergencies like that?
Well, what you saw happen in Baltimore is how they're trained to respond. There is constant contact between the vessel operators and people on shore, right? Whether it's when they're coming into their berth or so that capability for dispatch is available around the country, or I should say prepared for around the country.
Also, what struck me was the just the fast ability for personnel and equipment to arrive at the scene, tugboats and barges and cranes all working, just so soon after the disaster. What is that capacity like at Twin Ports if disaster strikes? How quickly can you mobilize?
Well, first of all, what I'm not an expert about what happened in Baltimore, but, you know, that's a huge credit to them, and that involved response at the federal and state level. You know, you saw that Secretary Buttigieg was Department of Transportation Secretary Buttigieg was there and present, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, promising support. That, and I want to also give a lot of credit to the Coast Guard, who is in charge of, you know, safety protocols for harbors, right? That's there throughout the U.S. So that same kind of response would be available here. I have to say, there's a safety plan for the harbor that the U.S. Coast Guard maintains, and that we have an area safety group. I'm not using that. The Coast Guard's world is full of acronyms, so I'm not using the correct name.
That's okay.
But for the area safety committee that plans ahead for threats and dangers in the harbor, and so those protocols are in place.
And do you review the harbor's emergency plan regularly?
It is reviewed regularly by the Coast Guard and the emergency response, the emergency responders that are part of that group.
I wonder if you could help provide some contrast between a container ship like the Dolly, loaded with, you know, thousands of containers of different goods, versus navigational challenges of a typical barge carrying ore pellets in the Duluth Superior Harbor.
Well, I want to be really fair. I saw comments, you know, and I'm sure you followed the news, and every day there's another take on what's happened, and statements from ports that like ours care deeply about what happened. But, you know, our vessels can be loaded out at 70,000 tons of iron ore. That's a heavy boat. Mm-hmm. The boats are not as wide. Our ships are not as wide as the container ship that you saw in the Baltimore case, but they are, you know, nearly as long, and they can be weighted very heavily. All of our vessels, I should add that our international vessels always have its requirement that they have a pilot on board that knows the system, and those pilots are shifted out as they cross from the entrance to the St. Lawrence Seaway to all the way into Duluth. So there's always a pilot on board, and that pilot is switched out along the transit, and they know the local configurations and waterways that they need to transit. So that provides a level of safety. I will say that in the Baltimore case, there were two pilots on board, and that's a very different harbor and a different
configuration
pilot requirement.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, the captains for the domestic vessels are essentially trained at pilot. You know, they are at pilot level. In fact, they become pilots when they retire, because they know the system and the waterway so well. So, and then when those vessels enter the harbor, the speed limit, so to say, is 8 knots, which is about 9 miles an hour. And those vessels travel even slower than that to navigate turns and tighter spaces and the like.
Deb DeLuca with us, oversees Duluth Seaway Port Authority at the westernmost tip of Lake Superior, as we discuss the opening of the maritime shipping season and port safety in light of the Baltimore tragedy. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss the safety of ocean-going ships after the deadly bridge collapse in Baltimore. The annual shipping season is underway at the Duluth Superior Harbor, with the Barbara G gliding into the harbor Monday to pick up Midwestern wheat that's destined for Algeria. Deb DeLuca is here, Executive Director of the Duluth Seaway Port Authority. You can call in with a question, add thoughts, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Jeff in Superior. Jeff, hello.
Well, good morning. Thank you for this opportunity, this discussion. I I'm excited to tell you a couple things. When I was in high school, I went to the Port Authority office with my Russian language class, and we met with a Russian ship that was also loading grain, loading wheat that year. And that, I'll never forget that. That was really exciting to see how the port, you know, operates on a daily basis. I had a couple thoughts about the Baltimore disaster. You know, at the footings where the pilings go into the water, I thought they could have created like a cone shape where the ship would run aground before it would hit the footing. You know, that would be a safety protection that might run out, you know, 100 feet or so around the footing. It would be underwater, so you wouldn't actually see it. But, I mean, it would protect the integrity of the bridge, you know, by protecting the footing, and it wouldn't collapse.
Kind of like a guardrail, yeah.
Or something underwater, like a bunch of rock or sand, where the ship would run aground before it hit the piling. My other thought is, do you have any updates on the Blatnik Bridge project? Have you had to work with Wisconsin Department of Transportation on how that's going to traverse the bay?
Jeff, thanks so much for those thoughts and that story at the outset. Deb, what comes up?
I'll answer that question, but Jeff, I love your story about your high school class. And I will say we just welcomed the Barbara G this week and had our first ship ceremony. And as part of that first ship ceremony, we go on board and we're up on the bridge with a captain. And that captain, Smirnov, was from the Ukraine, and just a very delightful conversation ensued, and very interesting individual. So that's fun to hear about your class. But sorry, your question is about the Blatnik Bridge and how I will say it's the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and Minnesota Department of Transportation work collaboratively on both the design and the funding of that bridge, and you've seen they've been very successful on the funding aspect. They, you know, I'll say like from the outset, whether it's the design of that bridge or the Twin Ports interchange in the case of landside transportation that affects the port, the Minnesota Department of Transportation and Wisconsin Department of Transportation come to the Port Authority right away to discuss, you know, what are height needs, what are turning radius needs, all this, you know, that turning radius is more for the road, but, there are very attuned to the needs of the marine shipping and incorporate that into the design for the vessel. They are they're very far along on the design for the Blatnik, and they've taken, you know, they're using the most modern methods, and anyway, point is that they've taken this into consideration. And I've heard, but I haven't had a chance to check in with them, that they are also kind of tinkering with the design a little bit in regards to the threat of elision.
But you feel that you're very much looped into the process for the Blatnik?
Yes, and they are design. I mean, their design expertise is supreme. I mean, they're very good at what they do.
You mentioned the Barbara G, and, you know, with the port and this week the harbor welcoming the first ocean-going vessel for the season, what does port traffic mean for the local economy?
Well, where do I start? Shipping is really sort of the economic backbone of this of the Twin Ports region. That's really why, you know, the fact that we are a nexus point for maritime, road, rail, transportation is what really brought, you know, what made us grow into the size that we are. And, you know, it represents around 8,000 jobs locally per the tonnage that moves across the through the port every year. It represents about 8,000 jobs regionally, I should say. Has about a $1.4 billion economic impact. And I think my head is working off our older numbers. That number should be elevated based on last year's economic impact.
Sure,
study.
Sure. With iron ore shipping, you've seen an increase there in tonnage. What's driving the growth of iron ore?
Well, there's high demand for high steel demand in the U.S.,
And that's driven by many factors. There's a lot of construction, but in addition to that, all the IRA and IJA money that the Biden administration has put out that supports transportation infrastructure and clean energy transition, that's also driving more construction. So anyway, high steel demand, and that's always good for our iron ore tonnage. Anything that drives up iron ore tonnage is, of course, good for the Port of Duluth Superior. And on top of that, I will say that the mines are at full production, and that, you know, the plants are at full production. That also helps. You should see the stacks of iron ore at the ore docks right now are all ready to open the season and to go out to the steelmaking facilities on the lower Great Lakes.
They're all poised there and ready to go. In our last few moments together, what do you anticipate for the upcoming cruise ship season?
Oh, cruise ship is, I think it's going to be pretty much like last year. It's a continuation. You know, Viking, of course, is back. And then we have some additional cruise vessel lines coming as well. So we're excited to look ahead one more year. The dock wall at the Duluth Entertainment and Convention Center, where the ship's dock will be completed for the next vessel season. And then we're looking forward to that. And we're looking forward to the shipping season. I want to say it looks like a very promising, promising for iron ore. Iron ore had a very strong year last year. We're expecting that to continue. Grain had a nice uptick at the end of last year, and of course we are excited about the new liner service that we developed that started last year between Antwerp and Duluth.
And lots going on. Yes, Deb, thank you for checking in. Thanks for joining us. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Kate. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. Deb DeLuca, Executive Director of the Duluth Seaway Port Authority. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.